glad everyone made the slide in this morning. Hopefully not too many falls or slips. It's a little bit slippery out there. It's supposed to get a little bit more this afternoon, but we'll see how that goes. Yesterday we were busy making snowmen in the afternoon because the snow was perfect. So we made these snowmen that were higher than my head. I think my back is still feeling it this morning. But I was kind of nervous. It was a little warm to make them that big because they would start to lean. And sure enough, by the evening they were leaning a little bit. And by the morning one of them had gone down and the other one I think is on its way. But those are just fun things in life. Even as a dad and getting older, you can still stay young at heart. I think my neighbors were more entertained with me building than my kids. Okay. No, now we're going backwards. We'll figure it out yet. Today we get to talk about a wonderful passage, and that passage of scripture that was read by the Nickel family is a beautiful intro to what we're talking about today. Talking about song, talking about joy, talking about the coming of the Messiah. And today we're talking a little bit about song. We're talking about the song of Mary. And I mean, ultimately, I think as we read this, you'll see that it is a song of Elizabeth as well. Luke is drawing two stories together, and that's Mary's story and Elizabeth's story. Elizabeth being, this is kind of an interesting dynamic because one woman is old and has no children, the other one is young and has no husband, and both are pregnant. And now these two mothers-to-be come together, these mothers bearing children who will change the world as we know it. I invite you, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn to Luke's Gospel, and we're going to read out of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 39 to 40. No, not 42. 56. I have the wrong thing written in my notes. But we're going to read 39 to 56. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Mary visits Elizabeth. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Mary's song of praise. It goes on to share Mary's reaction and her words after Elizabeth's exciting greeting. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble state of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me in his holy. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for each person here this morning. Thank you that as we open your word, it is alive and well. And Lord, that our hearts, our minds, our being would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit's leading this morning into what you have to say to each one of us. As you speak through your two humble servants, Mary and Elizabeth, and Luke as he tells that story. Thank you, God, for this time. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This week has been an interesting week for me. At camp, we have lots going on. We're getting ready for winter activities of lots of different groups coming in large groups. And in the midst of this week, and in the midst of thinking about what was on my heart for this Sunday morning as God continued to speak, I also got a phone call from Steinbeck. And in that phone call, one of my dear friends that I got to know during my time at Rest Haven, her family was wondering if I could come for a visit to visit a 100-year-old lady in her last hours. And so I made my way to Steinbach to visit, to sing, to encourage, not because of who I am, but because of the peace that God's word brings at the time of death. We realize the precious message that we have with us, and throughout life, we have a privilege of having that author of Scripture with us as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And as I was able to sit in those last moments and sing in those last moments, and tomorrow I will have the privilege of leading the service for her as she's passed away, I thought about her life of faith, a life of praise. And as this week, as I continued to look at this song of praise and this song that Elizabeth is singing and talking about the blessing that God gives, there's only one way that we receive that blessing, and it is in the belief of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the only way. There's so many things that we can accomplish, so many things that we can do, and we can look back at our lives, how precious that is to do. But there's only one way that we receive salvation, and that is in repentance and belief in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And for me to sit at the bedside of a lady who has served the Lord 80 plus years, and at 100 years old to be passing away, she continued to share was her joy to see her Savior face to face. And it was a joy to listen and remember her song of praise. And that song of praise we continue to see in Mary this morning. One of the things that we learn from Scripture that is so interesting, that God continues to view things differently than we do in a lot of ways. We tend to be attracted to the strong, to the powerful, to the popular in the world, don't we? I think it's true. Like, even as I look at my favorite athletes, or I look at people in some of the shows that I watch or look up to, we look up to those up-and-coming athletes, these people who are gaining momentum in popularity and success. Well, how can we be like them? And then we stop and we think a little bit. Those people in our lives, and especially in Scripture, it's the humble. It's the humble who God exalts and brings up and uses. Doesn't mean you can't be popular, you can't be a good athlete, and you can't be successful. But where is the heart at in those things? Where is our heart as we serve? miracles in our lives. In Scripture, I doubt that God was reading all the celebrity columns to choose who he was going to pick. He knew who he was going to pick. And oftentimes it was those people who we were least suspecting that he was going to pick. Like King David. The smallest, the least likely to be picked out of his brothers. No, it was him who God was going to pick and use, even amidst his failures. He chose Samson, even in the midst of his struggles and his strength. It was through ultimately his humility that God used him. It was through the ordinary, sometimes unbelieving disciples. Jesus was accomplishing all of these miracles, all of the things around him, and ultimately he kept saying, "You of unbelief." He was accomplishing all of these things. But it was the disciples' hearts that were being changed. That is where the power comes from, when we humble ourselves before God. And that is what we see in a simple, common young woman who simply trusted in the Lord. Mary is blessed for believing, is what we're looking at today. Blessed for believing in what God had said and fulfilled what would happen. We can turn together to the first verses. We're going to go through this very methodically through groups of verses, and we're going to look at just what the significance is of this beautiful song of praise that God gives us. Verse 39, and it is on the screen if you'd like to follow along. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." The hill country of Judah. This is about 3 to 4 days' journey for Mary to go to. And when we lived in Vida, this was called Styx. Way out, well, there wasn't the hills of Vida, but it was the Styx. It was the Struck, as we say in Low German, right? With haste, she's heading out to the hills with a great deal of eagerness. And a lot of us read a story like this. We hear what's happened to Mary, and is she going there out of embarrassment? Is she going there to hide? She's going there with eagerness. And this was an eagerness of embracing what God was doing in her life. It wasn't embracing the embarrassment, no, though we know that there would be some. There'd be a great deal of shame that people would be pointing at her and realizing that there is no husband, but yet she is pregnant. But this is right at the beginning of Mary's pregnancy, and she runs to her relative Elizabeth. She arrives at Elizabeth and Zechariah's house, which would already be a little bit of an interesting greeting. She would go into the house, and I'm sure Zechariah and Elizabeth would be there, but remember, Zechariah is at this point where he can't even speak. So he's inviting in, and his wife is all excited, and he can't say anything, but maybe that's best. Sometimes it's good when us husbands are quieter than anything. But it's this interesting interaction that has to be happening. We think about this humbled state of Zechariah. And when I think about Zechariah, I think that there's a lot going on in his head as well. For simply questioning, for simply having some of this logical thought that many of us, I'm sure, would have in those moments, he is silenced for a long time. And we can relate to that. in our lives, as we sometimes hear good news, as we hear what God is doing, as we hear that God is performing the miraculous, in the back of our minds, we're going, I don't know if that adds up. But in these moments, pondering, and there's a realization that happens. Not only are they welcoming Mary in, but John, not born yet, jumps for joy in the womb. At 6 months in the womb, he is bumping around already. But this is different. This is enough that Elizabeth takes notice. Maybe asks Mary, "Oh, did you see that?" This is a bit of a gasp. For me, it was always a highlight to watch our little kids in the womb. And as they started to move around, we would wonder what kind of body part they were putting out. Was it an elbow or a head? And they were always moving, every one of them. They get that energetic side, I think, from the other side, because I was the perfect angel child. I never misbehaved. I was always quiet in church. Never moved around, never fidgeting. No. But it's an exciting time. And I think at the same time, those mothers are thankful when the baby is out, because there's a lot more sleep happening and there's a lot less interruptions in sleep. But there's a different kind of interruption. Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit, and oftentimes we wonder, well, Mary goes and she greets Elizabeth. Elizabeth starts greeting her and blessing her. Well, how did Elizabeth know? She greets her in the Spirit. She was filled with the Spirit. She knew what God was doing. And in that, she has the knowledge that Mary is with child. As Mary is trying to share with her and let her know what's going on, she's sharing in that joy. The reality of the situation and the excitement and the Spirit in her, the moment is being shared by both women. Blessed. Blessed. Mary is continually called blessed. As we see that her belief, her faithfulness to God, gives way to blessing. And we see that blessing and believing go hand in hand with sharing and encouragement. The news has come, and Mary continues to be this pillar of faith and obedience to God. And who does she tell? Does she try to convince Joseph right away? No, she goes straight to her elderly relative, Elizabeth, who is pregnant with a son. It starts off with excitement, and it starts off with deep emotion. But we see that this interaction checks all of the boxes for encouragement. They're sharing with one another. They're able to be an encouragement to one another. Elizabeth gets it, but also shares in the weight of being part of God's promises being fulfilled in life. I think this is a little picture of what the life is in the body of Christ. The church, this is what it's all about, to encourage, to share. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 gives us that beautiful picture of our life together in God. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's a verse that quite often I've looked back to and realize how precious it is to share with one another, to encourage one another. We can try to get along, and I think it's a beautiful picture of that rope, right? That rope by itself can take a fair bit. You can hang a lot off of there. But then two come together, and threefold with God as that third strand is an incredible bond. This is an incredible bond that they share together. Often in Scripture, we're brought to this idea of supporting each other. brought to this idea of going through things that bring people together. Galatians talks about sharing one another's burdens. This is what we're called to do. We're called to encourage, to share with one another. We're often shown this image by training for a race, or maybe facing a battle, or these strands of a cord. I want us to use these ideas to ingrain this interaction between Mary and Elizabeth. First, it seems that you're all alone. These two women get this news, and it feels like they're all alone in this. Then all of a sudden, one person comes alongside, and they realize they're able to encourage each other. A friend joins in and races alongside you. They share their feelings. They share things that they're going through. Their presence and encouragement make each other and that stride feel a little bit lighter, and they find themselves running faster and farther. In life, that is an amazing gift that we can share with one another our journey that we're going through. Each one of us has that story in our hearts to share with one another what we're going through and to realize that so many others share the exact same struggles, share the exact joys, share some of these yearnings that we have, and to come together and share those with each other because of who we are in God. Mary visited Elizabeth. She found encouragement. She found affirmation. You are blessed among women, she says. This is part of God's plan. Elizabeth's shared experience of a miraculous pregnancy provided Mary with the strength to believe in God's promises and to carry out her divine mission with confidence, especially in a time where Mary will start to experience many eyes of judgment in this miraculous pregnancy. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I think both women realize that this is not going to be an easy journey. And the idea of blessing here, as we're reading this word blessed, as Mary is talking that, or as Elizabeth is talking to Mary about being blessed, there's two forms of blessed that are being used here. Blessed at the beginning, as Mary is talking about, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, is talking about this idea of speaking well of, to be praised, differing slightly from the blessed used in the next verses that we'll talk about. This is about reputation, and the other differs from this blessed, which is dealing more from a personal sense of being. Just as sharing with a friend can transform our experience to help and achieve more, sharing our faith journey with others can uplift and empower them and us to overcome challenges and embrace God's promises fully. And I think many of us can think of a time in our lives where we've experienced that. We've experienced us being able to walk alongside a friend, walk alongside a family member, being able to cry together, being able to share together, being able to pray together because of who God is and what He has done in our own lives. Verses 43 to 45, we read, "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment that was spoken to her from the Lord." Elizabeth is overjoyed. She's elated with the news of her own pregnancy. And now, 6 months into her own term, and it's revealed by the Spirit that Mary, too, her relative, is pregnant with child. but she's not married. This will be the child of God, the one foretold, and foretold many, many years earlier. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Hundreds of years beforehand comes the news that Jesus is to come. And then those verses that we read last Sunday in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Elizabeth, being overjoyed and filled with the Spirit, I'm sure embraces Mary. As Elizabeth tries to put her excitement into words, words of blessing, words of thankfulness. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what God has spoken. These are affirming words, and they're ones that are going to continue to shape this conversation this morning. Without the unwavering belief of Mary, it would be a very different story told by Luke. But this is what the Bible says, that Mary believed in the fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. That the blessing that Elizabeth expresses comes from the faith and obedience that shines from Mary's life, especially in this new season of motherhood. She is blessed. She is blessed, and we continue to see that through Mary's faith and obedience. It's worth noting that this is where the other form of blessed is used. When it's talking about her being blessed for her belief, it talks about a very personal sense of blessing, a happiness, a realization of what God has done in her life and what God is doing. Mary is spoken well of because of her belief. But here, Luke is focusing on the personal blessing that comes from belief, in faith and obedience. Last Sunday, we talked about Mary being this servant. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. She had very little idea what was going on. The thing that Elizabeth continues to emphasize is Mary's faith. Blessed is she that believed. We are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by grace through faith, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says. Because Mary believed the word of God, she experienced the power of God. We enter this beautiful song that Mary sings. Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat. "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked down, looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Remember, Luke, he's recording this firsthand, likely, from Mary. Mary's able to share this song with him. She's able to share these greetings from Elizabeth. He's likely recording some of the exact words, person to person, that she was able to share and reflect on. Special songs are always important to us. We think of songs like "Happy Birthday." We think of our national anthem, "Silent Night" at a Christmas Eve candlelight service. When I'm happy, I like to sing. When I'm sad, I love to sing. God continues to put songs in our hearts. And I've heard even from those who would consider themselves non-musical, God puts songs in our heart. And sometimes they take the melody of a song that we're familiar with, that we remember from long ago. Sometimes a song takes the form of something else, maybe a prayer, maybe a memory as a family. There are words in Scripture that challenge, encourage, they teach, they praise, they inspire, but there are also songs and hymns in Scripture that do many of these things. This portion of Scripture is called Mary's Song, or the Magnificat. And that term is a beautiful term that comes from the Latin language. And in this sense, it is talking about magnifying, to magnify, just like a magnifying glass. That's where our word comes from. Magnification, to make larger, to look at God and to realize who He is in our lives. To magnify God, that these words would magnify and praise God. That's what these words in her song are talking about. This song of praise. What an amazing response to the greeting from Elizabeth. What it is that magnifies the Lord, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Charles Wesley, I'm sure maybe some of you have maybe heard of that name. Charles Wesley and his brother John, who is a pastor, some of the founders in the Methodist Church. John Wesley was known to have written over 6,000 hymns of praise. 6,000 hymns, 6,000 songs of faith. That is a pretty amazing feat in itself. But as he wrote these songs, I'm going to read a quote from him, that he would continually tell people around him that as he would write, that each song was to glorify and praise God. And he said, there are many more to be written. This is what he says. Above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word that you sing. Have an eye to God in every word that you sing. Aim at pleasing Him more than yourself or any other creature. In order to do this, attend strictly to the sense of what you sing, and see that your heart is not carried away only with the sound, but offered to God continually. So shall your singing be such as the Lord will approve here and reward you when He cometh in the clouds of heaven. What an amazing reminder. As we sing these words of Scripture this morning, not just because Charles Wesley is a wonderful man and we should be listening to every word, but he's speaking truth. He's speaking truth. And as we think about these words of magnification, as we think of these words of Mary, as we think of music in our lives, how is it honoring God in our heart? The basis of Mary's praise is God and His grace. In His grace, He's been mindful of the humble state of a servant. And I think we can say that for ourselves this morning. In His grace, we are saved. Mary knew her own need for a Savior. Additionally, Mary was aware that she had nothing to offer spiritually to God. And yet, God, in His grace, gave her the great privilege of giving birth to the Savior. both her own personal Savior and the Savior to the world. Because of this blessing from God, Mary is called blessed and continues to be a role model of humility, obedience, belief, and submission to God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. It's an interesting detail before we continue on. But one thing we have to realize, she stayed there for 3 months. And Elizabeth is already in her 6th month, so she is very close to that time to when John is being born. And there must have been a lot of conversations that went on during those 3 months. We get to experience what we understand to be the greeting of these two women coming together, but what a privilege it was for them to praise God together, to talk about what they were going through, and to give all praise to Him. God, the Mighty One, who has performed mighty deeds leading to salvation and judgment, and accomplishes this through His arm. Talks about his arm, and I'm sure we think about that, and we think, yes, God is powerful, and I think about, it's this big word that we learned in high school, anthropomorphism, a word describing the physical attributes, the physical characteristics of a God who is beyond that description. God's arm, God's strong arm, is talked about often in the Old Testament, talking about Egypt, talking about the judgment that is there, but talks about His strong arm coming in Jesus Christ, scattering the proud, bringing down rulers, lifting up the humble, and filled the hungry with good things. What an amazing portion of scripture this is. And Mary is blessed, giving praise to God. Out of our blessing of belief, out of our blessing of believing and realizing who the Savior is in our lives, we are blessed as we praise and give praise to God. In this humble state, Mary worships the Mighty One because He has done great things. Here, God has exercised His power to create the child. Mary, as this blessed voice, is giving praise to God. And we find here that these three characteristics are highlighted: the mightiness of God, His holiness, and His mercy. Mary's reason for praising God focuses on His being, for He is worthy of our worship. Mary focuses on these attributes. The song of praise is an act of worship. We see this for Mary, but it's also a necessary part of our believing. Blessed to believe. Blessed to praise. Blessed in faith and obedience in the life of the believer. It's easy to get caught up in songs of frustration. It's easy to get caught up in songs of being overwhelmed. Easy to get songs of anxiety, songs that focus on us. Some of those songs that we sing seem to be completely inwardly focused. But what happens as we start to bring those songs of praise forward? those songs of praise that continue to tell ourselves, to tell others around us what God has done, what God is doing, what He is planning to do. This is what we're called to do. We forget that there is overwhelming rest, overwhelming peace that come from praising God in the midst of uncertainty. And that is what Mary is talking about today. For we are blessed in our belief of the Savior and His fulfilled word. Today we've talked about Mary blessed for believing. That there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. In this belief, we see blessing. We see blessing in sharing and encouragement as Mary and Elizabeth share with each other what God has done. We see blessing in faith and obedience. We see blessing in giving praise to God. I want you to ponder something for a second. And as you prepare your mind, and as you prepare your heart to worship God in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we prepare for this Christmas season, today through Mary's song, as we reflect on that, as we reflect on God's promises, what are you being called to believe? As we believe in all that God has done, in what ways are you being invited to trust Him during this season and at this point in your life? True blessing comes in our belief of who God is. We can accomplish many things. We can serve in many ways. We can accomplish all the checklists and tasks of Christmas time, but we can still forget to focus on a Savior who is born for each and every one of us. That it's in our belief of what He has done for us that we are saved. And as we are reminded of this through Mary's blessing, as Elizabeth reminds her of what blessing looks like in her life, in her song, I hope that we think about the blessing that comes from belief. The blessing that comes from praising God in the midst of hard times, the blessing of faith and obedience when it's hard, the blessing of sharing and encouraging others. God is faithful to His name and His promises. And today we remember and we prepare our hearts for Jesus in the manger, as recorded by Luke. And just as Mary experienced God's fulfillment, may His work and promises lead us into a season of blessing as we wholeheartedly believe and worship Him. That's our reminder, a short reminder that affects much of life. What amazing the opportunity it is to look into Scripture, being led through this amazing story that Luke gives us of our Savior. And today to think about what it means to say God bless. What it means to say to someone, God bless you. Are we sharing that story with people as we are living out that blessing that God gives each one of us, that blessing of belief? How are we sharing that with our friends and our neighbors? And sometimes we go on through our little bubble of life and we continue to remember and we look at the birth of Jesus, we look at these events that surround it. And so much of it pushes us towards sharing that. It pushes us towards sharing it with others, just as Mary and Elizabeth are sharing this great news. What a privilege it is to look into Scripture, to share what God has done through believing in Him. What peace and joy that brings us. And as we think this week of what this song of praise means to us, may we look at our own song of praise. What are our songs? What are the things that we're saying and sharing with others? What are those songs expressing to others as we proclaim God as our Savior? I invite you to bow your heads in prayer. God, thank you for your word. And Lord, sometimes we hesitate to call it this, but it is a challenge sometimes to share all of the ways that you are working in our lives. And sometimes as people, we try to take so much upon ourselves. We try to be strong. We try to tough it out. But Lord, what richness there is to come alongside one another and to realize how much you care. That it is by our belief that we are blessed, and in that belief that we would praise alongside Mary, that we would magnify who you are with our words, with our actions, that other people, as they come and they see what is different about us as Christians, they see the peace that you bring, they see the joy, they see the happiness and the blessing that comes in believing. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your provision. And Lord, in this season, we pray that you would continually remind us of who Jesus is and what he has done. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'll call our wonderful singers up. I think we will close in a song.
We don't need that. It was a good thing.